Welcome to the Discover You podcast, where we take a deep dive into who you are and why you do what you do. If you're ready to learn how to be a better you, you're in the right place. And now, the host of Discover You, James Hooper.
Well, welcome to the Discover You podcast, and I look forward to today's interview because I'm interviewing Sarah. And we'll say this, Selvarangaraju. Now, I have a lot of history with Sarah. Our family does. So let me give you a little bit of background. Sarah is the owner of Buzz Hustle LLC, and it's a digital marketing agency, and she is phenomenal. But our families go way back. In fact, Sarah's mother and Sharon, my wife, were friends when they were little girls. They went to church together and all this other stuff. And Sarah's grandmother actually made Sharon's wedding dress for our wedding. And so we've got a lot of history with Sarah and her family. I'd lost track with Sarah over a few years and then reconnected again and have used her services as a digital marketing consultant and gone to one of her training seminars. And so I was excited about bringing you her story because I feel like it's really interesting and in how she found her way into this industry. But not only that, but found out where she blossoms and discovered who she was. So Sarah, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. And I didn't know that about Sharon's wedding dress. So that was news to me. Surprise me, but
yeah, she was pretty insistent on making the wedding dress and she made the
of course
the,
she was
veil and everything. So yeah, we've got a lot of history with you guys. So let's go back. I guess let's just start. You just kind of start from the beginning where you were born, grew up. I didn't cover that. And just take us from there.
Yeah, so I am from a little town north Texas called Bonham. Technically, I'm from north of Bonham, but nobody knows the name of that place. So, yeah, I was born into a family of strong women. I kind of was raised with the idea that even though we're from a little small town and we're don't have a lot of resources at our disposal, you can do anything you want, you know, you set your mind to it, you can be anything, you can do anything. I grew up with that mentality of a grandmother who ran around town bossing people around with her political ideas and shadowed by, you know, parents who worked incredibly hard. I never wanted for anything, you know, my whole life, but then looking back now, we hardly had anything, but you know, I didn't know. So I just kind of grew up with the idea that, you know, there's bigger things out there. I just got to get out of here and go there.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people left Bonham to live their lives and their futures.
So. Yes. Yes. But I do like to go back and visit because now that, you know, we're in the hustle and bustle of the city, I now live in the Dallas Metroplex. And, you know, now we're here. I like to go back there.
Right.
Just slow down and be quiet for a little while.
Well, that's awesome. So you were, what I remember, you're a fairly good student in school.
Yeah. Well, I'm the youngest of three. Technically, I'm like the middle of five, but if you want to get in that story. I was adopted as a child by my aunt. My mom is my aunt. And so I'm the youngest of her children. So my brother was always the really, really, really good athlete. Mm. And so there was a lot of attention poured on him. I remember spending every summer of my life at all-star games, playing underneath the bleachers and eating nachos. That was the life, you know, back then. Mm-hmm. And then my older sister, she had a lot of difficulties growing up and she required a lot of attention. And so as the youngest, the way I got attention, you know, all the psychology stuff we know about now, looking back on it, I got attention by being good. Like yeah. I was the best student I could possibly be. I behaved as good as I possibly could, you know, mm-hmm. conformist to the max. And I'm still that way to this day. but yeah, I was a good student. I actually graduated technically the salutatorian of my class. Of course, I graduated with 28 and my husband says that doesn't count, but I say it counts.
Oh, it does. I graduated with 31, so it does count.
It counts, right?
I wasn't salutatorian or valedictorian, so.
Well, actually, I say technically, because the girl who was actually the salutatorian, the second place, highest GPA, which we're talking, you know, tenths, you know, a tenth of a point or two between like the top five, because mm-hmm. We were all great students, but she actually had moved into our district late, and so she couldn't technically qualify and get to do the speech and all that good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I actually recognized her in my speech so that everyone would know that she deserved it more than me.
Yeah.
And her family really appreciated that, but you know, it was the right thing to do.
Right.
So looking back, it's like I have the, you know, the thing that you wore at graduation and the trophy and all that, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's pretty much, you know, me.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I ended up getting a scholarship to East Texas Baptist University.
Mm-hmm.
Based on my ACT scores. If you guys out there don't know, a lot of the smaller Christian universities, they give a lot more generous scholarships than state schools do. So, you know, that's always a possibility. But I ended up going a full scholarship to East Texas Baptist, and I majored in human biology and anatomy and minored in chemistry because I wanted to go to medical school and be a doctor.
Okay.
And come to find out, college is a lot harder than high school is. incidentally, because I was such a good student, I guess, I didn't formulate the study skills that I should have when I was in high school, because I did a lot of do my work in class while the teacher's teaching kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't formulate those. And so I really struggled my first 2 years of college. Not like bad grades or anything, just, right. You know, self-doubt, because I'm like, why is this so hard?
Mm-hmm.
It's just because, you know, the competition is real, especially right. In a pre-med program where, you know, I had a lot of people that had already gotten, you know, a year and a half, 2 years of college under their belts while they were in high school because of the programs that bigger public high schools have and whatnot. So,
right.
Yeah. Mm. So I deviated from that path while in college, because I struggled quite a bit and I'm like, I don't know if this is the right thing after all. And so I kind of shifted and went into, education instead. And my advisor said, go ahead and finish your degree instead of switching to an education major, because that'll just add more hours.
Right.
So I finished my degree and then I went back to school in Longview, Texas at Laterno University and got my teaching certificate. Mm-hmm. And when you go to an alternative certification for teaching, you can teach your first year on probation
mm-hmm.
While you're going to school.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, I get to start my career and still go get my certificate at the same time and get paid for it. So that's what I did. So.
So it's a win-win for you. You got to do both at the same time.
Yeah, got to do it at the same time. And, you know, I was no stranger to, like, my whole time going to college. I worked full-time. My last 2 years, I actually was an insurance agent. I sold insurance for Allstate at an office. And I would go to class before, during lunch, after work, weekend, all that kind of stuff. So in my current career, whenever I talk to insurance agents and they start to explain me, I'm like, oh yeah, I know. I used to sell insurance. And they're like, how many careers have you had?
That sounds like me.
Yeah. I mean, just one thing to another, you know, just trying to figure out where to go. So
you launched into your teaching career.
Yeah.
Did you go full-time teaching after that, or did you stay with the insurance, or what?
No, yeah. I as soon as I graduated college, I quit my insurance business with the agreement with my agent that anytime I wanted to come back, I was welcome. And I've actually talked to him several times, you know, after we bought cars or bought a house, and I talked to him and he was like, are you sure you don't want to come back and work for me? And I'm like, no. So I left there, like, you know, really well. But so I launched into my teaching career. I actually went back to the high school that I graduated from to teach at for my first job. Basically, what happened is my principal, when I was in high school, was now the superintendent at that school.
Okay.
And he calls me and says, hey, I heard that you got a teaching certificate. Are you looking for a job? And I'm like, yes, I'm looking for a job. What do you got? So I actually went back to my old high school, and it being a small school, there's not a lot of repeat So I did biology, anatomy, environmental science, health, PE, and I was a cheerleading coach. So I did everything.
Were you a cheerleader in high school?
I was. Oh. Yeah, the last 2 years. The first 2 years of high school, I was the boys' basketball manager.
Okay.
And the next 2 years, because I'm not sports. I don't do sports. Yeah. And the last 2 years, I actually made cheerleader. But whenever I tell people I was a cheerleader in high school, you have to remember cheerleading, even then, isn't the same that it is now. It wasn't a gymnastic sport when I was in school. It was very much a pep squad, what they call a pep squad now.
Well, it kind of fits your personality, you know.
Yeah.
You're always upbeat. You're always encouraging and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
That, but it just makes sense. So.
Yeah. When I was the basketball manager, really, it's kind of like whenever you go to like these small schools that don't have a lot of options for like what to do. Like we didn't have band. We didn't really have music. The theater program was, you know, budding. It was at the very beginning of a theater program. So you kind of do whatever you have to do to be able to leave your house on a regular basis and do things. So yeah. I did cheerleading. And then when I came back, they're like, oh yeah, you were a cheerleader. You can be the cheerleading coach. And by then it had started to shift a little bit to where it was more athletic, more gymnastic. So I actually took as a school outing every week, my girls to gymnastics class in Bonham and did all that good stuff with them so they could be, you know, better. Right. All that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So settled into the teaching career, doing all these, teaching all these different classes.
Yep.
And just went full bore into it.
So, yeah.
So after a period of time though, you found you weren't really happy in the career. Am I right? That you weren't really.
What happened was, and as people are probably starting to understand, is I'm a really empathetic person. I'm always trying to figure out, like, how can I help? And the problem with education, not that I'm going to jump on this soapbox for a long time, but the problem with education in Texas particularly is that there's a lot of focus on tests and performance, and there's a lot less focus on individuals,
right,
what they need. And so the problem whenever I was teaching out at Sam Rayburn, and then after a little while, quite frankly, I wanted more money. So I moved to Rockwall and taught there for 3 years as well. And the same problem was in both places, which was these test scores and all this performance was what was so important. But I had students who didn't have regular meals, and I had students whose parents never came home. I had one student who, he played video games all night long and would sleep in my class. And I'd say, what is going on? And he'd be like, you know, I was just playing video games. I'm like, okay, well, do your parents not tell you to get off your video games at a certain point? He's like, no. Well, you can't teach when you have to deal with those kind of things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I was really trying to make changes and do things that were good for my students, and that wasn't always understood by my administration and whatnot. So finally I just got to the point where I was like, I can't be here wanting to do good for these kids and also make my administration happy.
Right.
And so what happened was I said, forget the administration. I'm just going to do what's best. And I did, but that came at the expense of me being let go.
Yeah.
While I was on maternity leave.
Okay.
And I got really salty about it because, because quite frankly, the team that I worked with and my science team that I worked with, at both schools, they really we were good. Like we worked really good together. We were achieving our goals. We were doing things that were great. It's just, it wasn't what our administration wanted, because we were science teachers, and the argument about science is you learn by doing. So we did a lot.
Yeah.
But we didn't necessarily translate that to standardized tests.
Right.
And so in both places it was the same argument. But I ended up getting laid off while I was on maternity leave, which made me not want to teach anymore. Right. So I took off for a year and a half when my daughter was born. And then we decided for me to go back to work after she was a little bit older. And so I actually started teaching at an alternative school in Irving, which was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. Because what it was is a bunch of kids who had been kicked out of school and they were on credit recovery. So we had packets of books where they would go through the books, and they did it 100% self-paced. If they needed help, I would help them. And then they would take a test. And if they passed the test for that book, they test out that semester of that, you know, whatever, you know, science, math, English, like I was teaching everything.
Right.
And I was actually in charge of the 14 to 16 year old boys. Okay. So that's who was in my class. They had all the subjects. So some of them were on like sixth, seventh grade math. Some of them were on algebra. It was across the board, whatever they needed to continue on in their education and get done.
Right.
And so these guys, I was reporting to probation officers. I was reporting to psychologists, psychiatrists, like all kind of people that needed to help these kids get to where they needed to be. Most of them were on probation. Right. I loved that job. That was fantastic. I loved those guys. They were great. I felt like I was a good influence in their lives. You know, they were happy to come to my class, you know, but then my daughter got sick because of being in daycare. And we decided that maybe her being in daycare isn't the best thing for her. So I had to leave that job and stay home with her.
Okay.
And, that was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard because I really had found a place that I really loved and those kids loved me, but my family was more important. So I had to go.
Yeah.
So that's where I guess we shift into the second phase or third phase, however how many
years I've had. The current phase.
Right, the current phase. And what happened there is I left, you know, teaching and being a professional and doing all of these things, you know, independent, and I became a full-time 100% mom. And I loved that phase of my life.
Right.
Like my daughter and I were like buddies. We went everywhere. We went to library, we went to museums. She is a brilliant girl. All because I taught her everything. No, I was kidding. she's great. And then I had my son and I loved being home with him, but, eventually it got to where I was like, I'm tired of being home. You know what I mean? I want to do something.
Right.
So, I actually started a weight loss blog when I had joined an MLM, Beachbody, and I started a weight loss blog to kind of chronicle my loss of my baby weight and get back into, you know, new you, right? That all the moms do.
Right.
So I started that blog and I found that, one, I was a really bad salesperson and I couldn't get anybody to buy the products I was trying to sell. But two, people were drawn to what I had to say. Mm-hmm. And I would read, how do you create a blog? How do you promote a blog? How do you, you know, create a Facebook group around your, you know, around your story and your blog? And for whatever reason, I was really good at that. And I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I was just Google, YouTube, teaching myself what to do. Right. And somehow that rolled into people asking me, hey, can you help me do that? Like people that were on my team, they were also trying to sell these products.
Right.
Like, can you help me? Can you help me build an email list? How did you get people to sign up for that? And all these.
Hey guys, I just wanted to break away for a quick moment to remind you there are two different ways that you can actually help sponsor this podcast. Number one, you can go to the website for the book, the Discover You book, and then the website is discoveryou-book.com, discoveryou-book.com. There's a link that will send you to Amazon, and for $9.99, you can have your very own copy. Secondly, in the description of this podcast, there is a link that you can click where you can go and set up a monthly monetary donation. Any amount would be great. Any amount would help us. So please consider sponsoring and help joining those that are already supporting us. I appreciate you guys for listening, and now back to the episode.
You things, and I'm like, I don't know, I just Googled it.
Well, I mean to interject something right here, because I'm noticing, kind of to tie it to my book and all the things that I've talked about, is I sense that there is there's a couple of strong things in you. One is an encourager. So that's really, I think that's one of the keys to your success, is because you encourage people, but also you have a serving gift, and that you love to help people. You love to do stuff for people. And so I think those two elements, which I'm not diagnosing you with these two, but I'm just saying that's what I'm perceiving. I'm perceiving that, you know, you've got that encourager gift, and that you've got the serving gift, and you like to help people and encourage them. I from knowing you personally, I believe that's probably why you're successful at what you do, and you're really good at it. I always enjoy reading your posts and your blogs and stuff. And then I was in one of your classes not too long ago. I went up to the Dallas area and went to one of your classes, and it was really informational, but it was also encouraging. It was also challenging. It was exciting. So anyway, so that's to kind of let you know what I feel like why you're successful at. So you're blogging, you're learning how to do all this other stuff, and it's just because you started trying to sell stuff. So you were blogging about your journey to kind of sell it, but then you found out you're not great at selling, but people wanted to learn about your journey. So.
Right. Yeah. I was, what I was doing is giving away things for free is what I was doing. Somebody say like,
that's another
yeah.
key to success, and give away free stuff.
Yes. Yes. People start asking me like, how, you know, can you help me? How did you do that? And then the first person, it's actually someone at a farmer's market that was a friend of a friend, called me and said, hey, I'm setting up a booth at farmer's market. Can you help me figure out how to get people to come to my booth at farmer's market on Facebook? And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And so that became pretty much my motto in life is, yes, I can do that. And then going and learning how to do that.
Exactly.
And that's, right. I mean, that's 100% what my business is based on. And so I pretty much gave up the whole weight loss thing. I started running, which was something that I try to continue. It's a little harder these days. I started running, and then I kind of gave up on the whole Beachbody MLM thing just because it wasn't my jam. So, I kind of held on to the marketing part, and on the advice of my husband, who's always trying to encourage me to leap a little further outside my comfort zone.
And she's not saying that because he's in the background either.
Right. Yeah. He's not right there at all. but he encouraged me, you know, to start a business and to really expand how I can help people. And right. so, that's what I did. And so I founded Buzz Hustle Digital Marketing, and it has been a journey in learning how to be a business person, which is, you know, that's the one thing that I tell people, like, you know, like I work with a lot of real estate agents right now. And so I tell them, you know how to sell and buy houses, sell houses. I know how to do digital marketing, but neither one of us went to business school. So it's definitely like the skills you have to pick up just to be successful outside of what you actually know how to do.
Now let's remind people what your degree is in. Your degree is in human
is in
biology?
Biology, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is proof that people can do something else, though. In fact, my sister, her degree was in biology, was in physical education and biology minor. She was going to be a coach, but she's just celebrated 25 years at Dell, manager at Dell Computer. So, you know, even though you have a degree in something, A, that just shows your tenacity that you're going to finish something, but B, you're not tied to that thing. It would give you some clout with people, but you're not tied to that, because a lot of people think that when they start one thing, they have to stay with it forever. And if it's not what you're about, and some people come to it, you know, you didn't leave because you were dissatisfied. You had to leave because of your daughter's, you know, sickness and things like that. But some people are just dissatisfied. And so they stay where they are because they feel like they can't do anything else, because that's what my degree is in. But you're proof that you can start a whole new career that, you know, didn't have anything else to do with it.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the people, like my siblings, my brother started out, he went to school to be a respiratory therapist, but then he decided that he wanted to work in a factory because he wanted money now and not later, you know.
Yeah.
But then now he's flipping houses and assisting people with their credit scores, which is completely different from anything he ever did. And then my sister, who she's like, she barely graduated high school, and she's working on her master's in social, actually no, she has a master's in social work, and she's working on a PhD in criminal justice, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, and she's 100% self, you know, self-paced, like she's going through slow as can be because she's working and going to school, but she has been for 10 years now,
right?
You know, and it's kind of crazy because you're like, she just, my brother took like whatever path happened to be carved out, and you just kind of follow because every phase of your life is different. And sometimes, you know, people like, my mom doesn't understand why you can't, you know, be at the same company for 20 or 30 years now, get the watch and retire, and now you're set. It's just like,
it's a different world.
It's a different world now.
Doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. And if you, you know, if you want to stay with a company or do the same job and you're happy and you love it, then yes, more power. But nowadays it's like, you can, you know, depending on the kind of life you want to lead, you can kind of navigate. Like recently I was at a conference and I met a girl, I think she was like 22, and she was from Germany, and she is a digital nomad. So she doesn't have a home. She travels in Airbnbs and goes to hostels, and she stays 3 to 6 months somewhere, and then she goes somewhere else because she's 100% digital. She doesn't have to have a home base. And she's like, you know, I'll do this for a few years, and then, you know, eventually I'll settle down. But right now I'm just traveling. And I'm just like, if I were 20, I would totally be doing, you know, wanting to do that at least.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on where, you know, where life takes you, and, you know, and it's developing the skills along the way, because like, you know, the, like what you were saying, like the gifts you have are yours, but you can use them in so many different ways. You don't just have to marry yourself to one thing.
Right.
You know, and right now I love what I do. I mean, I do, you know, Facebook, Instagram, blogging, email marketing, all that kind of stuff for small businesses. And that's one thing that I've kind of had to, even in my business, kind of navigate the waters of who do I want to work with, who's my ideal client, who, you know, there's so many different options, but I like working with people in this, like in small towns, so that you're supporting like your local economy, as opposed to working for, you know, I could be a digital marketer for Nike or, you know, some huge corporation. And that would pay a lot of money. But I choose to work with one-on-one with like mom and pop type people, just to, because all of those tools that are available to the big guys are available to small town, you know, for marketing as well. You just have to learn how to use them.
And so you just basically you just learn on the fly. When you need to, when somebody needs something, you say, yes, I can do it. And then you just go figure out how to do it. That's
I think that's essentially, I mean, that, and I think that's the same for everybody, but a lot of people, though, I don't think people still to this day realize the true power of the internet. Things that you can learn, and there's so many like resources out there. And what happens is, if I don't know how to do something, I'll go and either learn or I'll ask somebody.
Now that's the key. Let me stop you right there. Because so many people, I know younger people, because I just turned 56, but when I was younger, I didn't want to ask questions because I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't want to look uninformed. But take it from an old guy, ask questions. People actually are impressed when you're willing to stop and ask questions. And so if you don't know how to do something, Sarah is a great example. If you don't know how to do something, don't let it stop you. Just begin to start Googling things, ask people that know how to do it. People will share information all the time. And this is what Sarah does for a living. She gets paid to share her knowledge. And so anyway, I'm sorry. But
no, I mean, absolutely. Because, and that, I think you're kind of in the middle right now of, you've got people who maybe are afraid to ask questions because they don't want to look like they don't know. And then you have people on the other side, or they're afraid to say they don't know how to do something. And you've got people on the other side sometimes that ask so many questions because they're afraid to take the leap on their own. And so, you know, it's both sides of the road, and you kind of have to do all of it. Because
so have you ever told somebody you can do something, then had to pull it off, and you didn't quite pull it off?
No.
You haven't?
No.
Cool.
No. Well, not that they knew of anyway.
Okay, well, you knew nobody, it wasn't exactly.
Well, right, for example, I recently was working with an agent, and I was running an ad for their a listing for a home that they were selling. And I ran one ad, and they got leads, but the leads weren't good quality. They weren't calling them back. And so they said, is there something else we can do? And I said, well, we can try a messenger bot. So that's where you set it up in Facebook, and then they click the button, and then Facebook Messenger pops up with the information they need, as opposed to sending them to a different website.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, we can try that and set it up and see what the response is. And we did, and it was terrible. And people, as soon as the messenger popped up, they freaked out and then would instantly stop. Don't talk to me. You know, those kinds of things, because people in this area evidently aren't ready for that yet. Yeah. So you live, you learn. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to recommend another agent in this area use that yet, probably for a while. But I mean, I had to go literally and find out, how do you set up a messenger bot? What should I say? What is the sequence? How do I do it? But then when I came back to the client, I just said, okay, this didn't work out. Not because I didn't know how, just right, because the results weren't there. But now I know how to do messenger bots.
You also had to adjust by your audience, by the area yes, you're in. You know, if you were down here in Austin, it probably would have worked.
It probably would, yeah.
Probably would have, but you realize that instead of keep trying that, you have to learn, and that's another thing. You just have to learn to adapt to your environment, to the markets that you're in, that sort of thing, and that's a strategy. And
absolutely, and that's the one thing. I mean, in all businesses, and I'm sure in any industry at all, is just because it doesn't work where you currently are doesn't mean it doesn't work.
Right.
It means it doesn't work here. So you have to think, mm-hmm, okay, what's going to work here? That's one thing that's interesting, especially in what I do, is a lot of people, you know, like you said, like in Austin, maybe they're 3 to 5 years, maybe even 10 years ahead of the people that I was working with when I was trying to help people in Bonham. Mm-hmm. Last year I was doing work with the Chamber of Commerce in Bonham quite a bit, and trying to get them kind of up to speed on how to create a Facebook page for your business.
Right. And,
you know, there are some companies who have had Facebook pages for 15 years, and they're doing experimental work with these social media platforms that nobody even knows about yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Doing videos on Twitch, which is a gaming platform,
right,
but you know, it's like the kids' YouTube now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things. And so it just depends on where you are and what market you're in. And just because it doesn't work one place doesn't mean it won't work somewhere else. And just because this is what like everybody is talking about doesn't mean that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You do what works for, right, you know, for what you do. So
mm-hmm,
definitely.
So you had to also, learn a new skill in running a business.
Yes.
You'd never
still
had to run a business. Yeah. I mean, it's all, but absolutely. I mean, so it's just one of these things that when you try something new, when you go for something that you weren't trained at or whatever, but you have a passion for, or you seem to have a penchant for, you're still going to have to learn about it. You're going to have to learn how to be good at it. You learn how to, what works, what doesn't work, and that sort of thing. Are there any instances that you can think of trying something as a business, you know, running your business? I was going to do this way and that didn't work, so I had to go this way and do that. Kind of adjusting midstream. Is there anything like that that you?
Yeah, actually, within the last month or so, I actually met with a woman. Actually, the one who ran the workshop that you came to, Angie Brumley. She is bartering with me business like training classes,
uh-huh,
like business consulting, for me to do her social media for her on Facebook. So we're bartering, but she's actually teaching me time management, which.
Okay.
You know, as a teacher, I had certain kinds of time management skills, but basically I would shove everything I could into my conference hour, and then anything I didn't get, I just took it home.
Right.
Well, in this business, I work from home. So I'm always working, or I'm never getting around to getting things done. One right, or the other, it seems like. And so I actually asked her, and this brings us back to what we were talking about earlier. I was like, okay, how do I manage all of these emails and all of these phone calls and all of these text messages, all these Facebook messages? I mean, information's coming from so many different directions.
Right.
How do I manage that and have productivity and be able to do my work. Because if I just answer emails and phone calls all day, I would never get any work done.
And be a mom.
And be, oh yeah. yeah.
Oh, that thing.
So, oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. Well, summer's coming, which is going to get really messy. But every summer, it just gets kind of crazy. But yeah. So she, you know, we talked about setting, you know, days that are for business hours and phone calls and emails. You know, whenever I have one-on-ones with people, you know, I have days where I just do work, and then setting up mornings and afternoons is when I return. Answer emails, return, and then in the afternoon I answer emails and return phone calls. And I try not to check anything in between. Mm-hmm. And if things come in between, I have a running list that I write down who they are and what mode of communication they used, so I can get back. And that's helped a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me 4.5 years into my business to finally set up a system for returning phone calls and emails.
Right.
Just because that's not something that's inherently, you know, you don't think about, oh, I'm going to do it this way. Whenever I start my business, this is how I'm going to return emails. Like, it's an actual system you have to set up.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's definitely one of the things, and I'm just now getting into that system. I've had notebooks and I've had schedulers and I've had calendars. I'm trying to figure out what's the best way. And so you have to, like, I just had to keep trying until I figured out, oh, this list works. So I'm going to start doing this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it, that comes, there's, you know, invoicing. You know, whenever, like, one of the big ones, I don't know, probably 5 months ago, is what do I do when someone doesn't pay me?
Right.
Like, because I'm a really nice person and I don't want to, like, be rough with people. And my instinct is, oh, you know, their business must not be doing very well. And I don't want to have to ask them for money if they're in the hole in their business, but I run a business. So it's like balancing those kind of conversations. And of course, I don't have employees yet. Hopefully one day I'll have employees. And I know that'll bring on a whole different set of issues.
Right.
But those are just things you have to learn about, ask from people who've been doing it longer than you have, mm-hmm. you know, and I surround myself with business owners. So I just ask them, like, hey, what do you do in this situation? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Cool. All right. So let's talk about Buzz Hustle. Let's kind of go through what Buzz Hustle can do for an organization, some of the services that you provide and that sort of thing. Just kind of let people know.
Yeah. So I do speaking, the classes, the workshops, things like that. So if you have a large group of people that you want to, you know, for instance, the class that you came to was about setting up a content calendar so that you can kind of schedule out ahead of time what you're going to post about and what you're going to share. If the whole social media digital marketing thing is overwhelming to you, then I do management. So I actually take on clients and do their stuff for them. I spend a lot of time in the onboarding process, trying to get to know your voice and what your goals are and those kinds of things, so that I can basically speak with your voice as a business owner.
Right.
And then I also do advertisements, you know, Facebook, Google, AdWords, things like that. And so I pretty much do the gamut. Here's what I do not do. I do not do web design.
Okay.
I can build a website, but that does not bring me joy.
So. Right.
and I don't do graphic design. Also, I can do it, but it does not bring me joy. I really like creating engagement for companies to where new audiences see what they have to offer, and finding people that are their people.
Right.
That's really my passion is having people be discovered by their people that are out there not knowing, you know, about them. So,
yeah. And so Where do you find your most success? What industries do you find? I mean, do you work with all kinds of industries?
I do. Currently I'm really into the real estate space, simply because right now is buying time and selling time for houses. And so the realtors are, like, really aggressive and they're like, I need help. I want help right now. But I mean, I work with a customer experience speaker, like a conference speaker. I work with someone who consults for franchises. In the past, I've worked for like retail stores, like local brick and mortar retail stores. And so I pretty much do whatever it is. It's really the kind of person that I'm drawn to work with, as opposed to the industry that they're in.
Okay.
I like to work with people who aren't super aggressive, mm-hmm. salesy kind of people, and people who do a lot of work in the community. They're in the community, they're going to different places. Like my number one thing, especially with the real estate agents, but really anyone, is for businesses to talk about other businesses.
Yeah.
Because there is enough business to go around for everybody.
Yeah.
No matter how small your market is. Mm-hmm. And whenever you uplift another business or person, then that's the kind of people, is the, you know, the people that are like, yes, of course, I'd love to share, you know, about their sale that they're having.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you're the kind of person I want to work with.
Right. Because you like to help people. And so you like other people that like to help people. So it's just a natural fit for you.
Absolutely. All right,
so how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah. So my website is buzzhustle.com. I am on Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter as @buzzhustle. So pretty easy to find. BUZZHUSTLE.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. If you need any digital media help, she'll give you some advice. You know, just buy a little time from her and she'll give you some advice, or she'll just take the whole thing for you and run it for you. So Sarah, this has been so fun. I'm finally glad we were able to get together and connect and do this. And I hope that, you know, maybe this brings some business to you, but I hope people have learned from this podcast that you can be in one industry and have a passion for it, but because of things in life, you don't have to not do something. You don't have to stop and just be not do anything. If you've got a passion for something, thanks for spending time with me, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks for listening to Discover You with James Hooper. If you haven't already, please subscribe wherever you like to listen. You can also follow us on Twitter @DiscoverYouPod, or you can email us at discoveryoupod@gmail.com. Discover who you were meant to be.